Exodus to the 12th chapter.
Amen.
I'll be reading from the King James Version, but also will kind of be back and forth between the net as well. But to begin, I want you to look at verse 31.
Come on now.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible reads, "And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, they kneaded in troughs, being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians." I want to talk from the subject, why do we struggle? Why do we struggle? Now, prior to the text, 10 plagues have just been rained upon the Egyptians. And now the last plague that took all of the firstborn of Egypt was the final straw. Pharaoh's heart moved in a way that he said, okay, get out of here. You can go. But I want you to examine the text. Because in the text, you are going to find one of the reasons why we struggle so much. If you would, turn back and let's look at it again. Verse 31 says, "And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and your children, and go serve the Lord as you said." So in other words, building up to this, there was a reason as to why they wanted to be free. They wanted to be free so that they can go and worship God as they saw fit. In other words, they were bound where they were. We want to be able to worship our God and only our God without any obstacles. Amen. And so now Pharaoh is just acknowledging what you asked for, and he's telling them you can go now and do as you have said. He said, "And take your flocks and your herds as ye have said." In other words, take everything that you talked about, that you would take. But then here's a curious request. He says, "Take all your stuff and go, but bless me."
Yeah.
Now, that's a strange request coming from someone who does not believe in God. Because to ask someone to bless you, you have to first acknowledge that there is a blesser. You have to acknowledge the presence of something that is greater than you. Something that you have never, ever co-signed on. So for the Pharaoh of Egypt, who had to go through 10 plagues before he let God's people go, he said, "Take all your stuff, but remember, while you're leaving, bless me."
Yeah.
I'm sure they understood everything that was said. The Bible says, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. In other words, they prayed for freedom. Freedom is around the corner. But God just don't send you out with nothing. The Egyptians had everything. And having everything, but yet somehow need to be blessed. In the transition of the Jews now leaving, they alleviate the Egyptians of their things. Don't get the words twisted and thinking that the Egyptians just wanted to give. They understood through all these plagues, look, it's time to give them whatever they want so they can get out of here. But what I want you to see is that before God is sending them out, he's equipping them. He's preparing them for the journey that they are about to go on. In other words, he ain't just say, just get up and go. See, you've been here for a while. You struggled here for a while. You had some trials and tribulations here. But alleviate them of these things now. And gather them up for yourselves and go out.
All right.
So they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. Don't get this word spoiled, tripped as we understand it. This spoil don't mean they took care of them.
Yeah.
This spoil means they ruined their entire civilization. They plundered everything. The NET says that the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and they gave them whatever they wanted, and so they plundered Egypt. In other words, when they had finished collecting what they was collecting, wasn't too much left in Egypt. You have to understand that if the children of Israel truly understood what was going on here, they would have never had an issue once they left Egypt. See, all they knew is that they was moving. They was leaving. And for some reason, the Egyptians was being extraordinarily nice by giving us all of their family heirlooms. And it says gold, silver, clothing, everything. Matter of fact, they were leaving so fast they didn't have time to put leaven in the bread. And so now they have gathered up all these things, and now they are on a new journey for God.
Well,
hear that.
Well,
they're on a new journey for God.
I like that.
We have been called out to live a more fulfilling life, and God has supplied us for the journey, but we fail to recognize his presence. Even though the enemy has. See, before salvation, you in Egypt. And you have been crying out to be free from all the stuff that has kept you wrapped up and bound to make you feel like you absolutely nothing. And you have been broken and you have been emptied, and all of a sudden, Jesus steps in.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And he puts you on a new journey.
Yeah.
And he tries to set your feet on the right path.
Yeah.
But God does not send you out there naked.
Yeah.
No.
Well.
in the process of transforming you, renewing your mind and creating something new in you, he's also having you fill up with the stuff you're going to need for this journey. Now, when it comes to Christ, it ain't about material things. No, that was for the Egypt. That was nice back then when it was God leading them by a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. But this time, this transition from us to Egypt into freedom comes with something else upon the package. My point is, you didn't accept Christ and all of a sudden he said, okay, well, now you're saved. That's it. I'm done. No, he's giving you something for the journey. He's giving you something to travel with. He's giving you something to lean upon. He's giving you something. And let me tell you this, the folks outside of your relationship with Christ, those who are always with you, your homeboys and your homegirls, did your dirt together. When there's a true conversion, they see a difference. And they say, well, look, I might not roll with you. But in the back of their mind, they say, but can you bless me on the way? In other words, whatever you just got a hold of, I know it's changed you because I can see there's a change in you, but can you leave a little bit for me? I'm not there just yet, but if you pray, because I've seen how God has worked and changed your life. I've seen the movement coming. I've seen all of the things that were happening that was changing your life. And while I could not fully be a part of it, on the outside, I was wishing that was me. See, if Pharaoh could put his pride aside long enough to say, look, take everything, but please bless me, he had to recognize that God was who he said he was. Problem with the world is that they get so pig-headed that they don't understand that you really got to travel with God in order to see how God works.
All right.
You can't just stay on the outside. You got to get inside the mix. And so the reason why we struggle is because we can't identify or recognize the presence in our lives while yet others can. There's no reason for a child of God to struggle. So that means we're struggling because we still don't realize who we serve. God did not leave you emptied when he transformed you. When he changed you, he said, I'm going to give you something. Matter of fact, if you know the word of God, the Bible says that in order for the comforter to come, I got to go myself. So when I come, I can send a comforter to help you. So in other words, while we don't have the silver and the gold, we got something more precious. I got a better transition out of Egypt.
Yes, sir.
I got something that can take me all the way through. I didn't got to worry, but the problem is that I keep focusing on the wrong stuff.
All right.
So the children of Israel have received this major blessing. They're going out for this journey. They've been prepared by God. They have everything they need. And now they find themselves with their backs against the wall. This is how you know they don't recognize really who God is. Yeah, they worshiping. You know how we do. We praise God. We worship God. We shout. Say hallelujah. We all on fire for God. We so blessed and highly favored and too stressed to be, you know, all this other kind of stuff that we say. But yet when the rubber hit the road, we don't know whether God coming through or not. We get in situations that we can't find ourselves any way out, and therefore then we get scared and we get nervous. But we forget that before God sent us on the journey, he equipped us. See, when the children of Israel, when they went out, they realized, now, if you need money, you ain't got to worry about money. I gave you all the silver and the gold of Egypt. When they was hungry, they ain't had to worry about food because he took care of that too. So why do you suppose when they get to a point where their backs are against the wall, they start crying? Now, I don't know about y'all, but seems like to me, if I had a front row seat of what happened during the Exodus, If I seen 10 plagues that just ruined havoc all in Egypt, if I seen hail and fire and grasshoppers and all this stuff happening around me, I mean, if I'm walking on the ground and it looked like the sun's shining here, but I look over there and all hell is breaking loose, it seemed like to me that something would trigger something in my mind to say, I don't know about the gods that they serve, but seemed like the God that I serve got the power to handle all situations. But we seem to struggle because we don't realize how powerful our God is. And we don't realize it because we haven't studied his word and we don't engage him daily. God is not the God of every now and then. He's the God of each and every day. 24/7, 365, 12 months out of the year. He's engaged in every day of your life. But if you treat him as a weekend thing, it's the reason why we struggle. We don't recognize that he's prepared us. We don't recognize that he's gifted us. We don't, how can a man preach for 7 years, 50 years, however many years and not miss a beat? It's because I recognize or they recognize that God is the supplier of all of our needs. I can't get up here and do what I do. We can't do what we do if we don't know who it is that we follow. Back against the wall, Egypt is burrowing down, Red Sea in front, and the first thing they cried is, Moses, why you done brought us out here and all this? Now, you weren't saying nothing when you was getting all the gold and the silver and the clothes and everything, and you packing up and you feeling good because you getting out of slavery. You've been there for 400 years. Now you free. All of a sudden, a few seconds after getting out, you want to cry and go back. You should have left. Did you bring us out here to die? We could have died back in Egypt. It was much better there. At least we had leaven for our bread. At least we had a roof. At least we had somewhere to stay. No, it might not have been the best place in town, but it was better than dying out here. With the, I just want to go back to slavery. It's a shame when the enemy recognizes God's presence and the one God is working with don't. So we struggle daily with our own minds and our own attitudes and our own inadequacies because we really are failing to give God his due. That's why your marriage struggles. That's why your employment situation struggles. That's why you struggle with your children. That's why we struggle with addictions. That's why we struggle with problems that seem to keep tearing us out the frame because we have not let go in giving it to God. If God said, I'll supply all your needs, if God has placed his spirit inside of you, do you not think you are more than able? A second reason why we fail is we allow tempestuous situations to have their way. See, when you don't recognize his presence, that means you're recognizing someone else's presence. When you don't give God his due, you're going to give someone else their due. David, great king he was, will never be questioned. But yet here is a man who had done so much, had accomplished so much. The Bible says all you had to do was ask and I would have given you whatever you asked for. But there was a moment of weakness where his position and his title and his status got to him. He saw a woman on the balcony, minding her business in her own little spot, doing whatever she do. People say, well, why was she naked on the balcony? Well, you can do what you want in your house, in your space. The problem was that he allowed that moment to define and dictate who he was as king and who he is that belonged to God. You see, in order for him to have done what he did, he had to put God aside. No, not David.
Not David.
Not the one who slayed giants, tigers and bears. No, not this giant in God. But see, whenever you get so big that you forget who God is, you allow temptuous moments to come in and take you away from the love of God. You got to remember that you flesh first. I don't care how high your spirit rises, or how blessed you may think you are, or how much tongues you may think you speak, or how much giftedness you may think you have. The moment you feel like you are bigger than God, stuff about to happen. Because God got to show you, you ain't nothing without me. But now if you recognize his presence, you ain't got to get told lessons like that. You already know, well, she looked nice, but that's as far as I'm going with that. Matter of fact, can you bring me some curtains to put over this side? Because if I let the temptation in, if I open up the crack, if I allow Satan to get just a little toe up in there, I'm in trouble. Because it means I'm floating and I'm flirting with death. So the reason why I struggle is because I allow things to tempt me that I should not even be a part of. If I'm an alcoholic, I can't hang around no drinks. I can't drink one beer. I can't do it. If I'm in drugs, I got to stay away from the houses. I got to stay away from the places. I got to stay away where I know they're doing this. I got to stay away because I'm not strong enough. I'm not there. See, when you let temptation in, when you dance with it because you think you're better than temptation, you heading for a world of hurt. So the reason why you struggle and you keep falling on your knees and you're saying, Lord, why me? He's saying, look, first recognize that I'm in there. Next, stop letting temptuous situations come into your life that you know you can't handle. I know for a fact if I was sitting in a hotel room and Beyonce knocked on my door, I could not open up the door. I'm a married man. If she knocked on my door, I got to pick up the phone and say, baby, how you doing? We need to talk for a while. Somebody at my door ain't got no business there. You got to know what to stay away from. You got to know. I love the scene of Jesus in the wilderness and Satan trying to tempt him. And he's like, hey, look, you can't tempt me because you don't even understand the whole word. The thing is with us, we don't know the word. So we get tempted and we fall in. Not because we were too weak. We fall in because we want to fall in. Why do we want to fall in? Because it's easier to fail. It's easier to quit. It's easier to give up. It's easier to say, well, I'm already messed up. But I beg to differ. God said, no, you ain't. He said, I didn't just say, come, my daughter. Come, my son. I didn't just say, I'm going to change you and make you new. I didn't just say, I got all your supplies. I got all your needs. I didn't just say, come unto me, all that are burdened and heavy laden. I didn't say that. I didn't say coming. If I didn't have nothing for you. If I'm not preparing you for the journey. If I'm not saying to come and accept my son and what he did on your behalf, if I don't have nothing for you. I don't know anybody who's great and say, come and follow me. But we ain't got nothing for you, though. Stay away from tempestuous moments. People say, well, that's fine, you know, but I don't have those kind of issues. All you can eat buffet. Now, if you are one that can't deal with food, do you need to go to the buffet? Amen. I'm amazed that sometimes I walk into places and I see folks so big it don't make no sense.
Come on now.
But their struggle is no different from someone else's struggle. If food is the issue, it's a temptuous thing. Just because Satan don't use something we consider illegal or vile to take you out, don't mean that pork chop ain't going to take you out.
Well,
We got clogged arteries and kidneys failure, diabetes in our, and things that ain't even acting right that ain't supposed to be there, but because we just do whatever we want to do. And I know what I'm talking about because I've been there. I've done that. I've been a part, and I had to say, not this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tired of the same old things beating me up time after time, especially when I know who's inside of me and I recognize his presence. So I know that if I stay away from tempting with situations and I keep my eyes moving forward instead of figuring out where I just came from, I know I'm going to be all right. But I realize the reason why I struggle is because I still engage in those sinful things.
Yeah. Mm. Come on, preach this word.
Mm. Finally, we are afraid to step into the unknown. We struggle because we don't know what tomorrow holds. And we're used to failing. Remember I said, we don't plan to succeed. We plan to do what? Fail. The Bible says that's just the opposite. You got to plan for success. You got to plan for a better future, a plan for a better life, plan for situations. But if God has given you the roadmap and the plan, he's laid down the blueprints. He's laid down the foundation. All we got to do is get up and walk in it. We're afraid to step out into the unknown. What happens if I say no to that man? Then I'm all by myself. What happens if I say no to the woman? Then I'm all by myself. What happens if I say no to this particular job that I know that God is pushing me to? I do and I don't like it here. I like her and I don't like her. I like this and I don't like her. I'm just so confused, God. But we're confused because we're scared. Right here, I know. Egypt, Moses should have left us in Egypt. We understand Egypt. We know Egypt. It might not be good to us, but at least we knew it. We were in our comfort zone. How are you going to be in slavery in a comfort zone? But your flesh will find a way to adapt to say, well, it may not be what I want, but it ain't that bad.
Yeah.
You got folks staying and stuff because I'm just safe here, I think. God is saying, no. I got something better for you. I got something more. What Abraham would have did if Abraham said, well, Lord, I'm not going because you ain't tell me where I'm going.
Yeah.
God said, look, if you leave this place, I'll make you the father of many nations. Now, he ain't talking on young spring chicken. Abraham was old.
No,
how in the world are you going to make me a father of many nations? And I don't even have one child. My wife's so old, she can't even have kids.
All right.
But Abraham said, I guess if I want to be successful,
well,
I'm going to have to step into the unknown. If not, I'm going to struggle all my life of what I'm afraid to do, of what may happen. What might, do you realize in order to become successful, you might got to go broke a couple times?
Well,
you go and you talk to folks who are billionaires and millionaires and say, well, did it happen for you overnight? They'll tell you, no, not the true ones. I went broke a lot of time before I found the right combination. I found the right thing that worked. I kept plugging at it. Just because I failed don't mean I stayed down. When I fell, I kept getting back up. Now, we are Christians and we are in Christ. So if anybody should be able to get back up, it's you and me. Satan, you can't have me. Yeah, I might mess up from time to time. I might fall down from time to time. But I realize every now and then I know what's inside of me. And when I know what's inside of me and I begin to pick up my word and I start connecting and my spirit starts feeding on what I'm connecting to, I realize I ain't got to lay down all my life. I can get up and become something because you said I'm something. You got to realize the presence of God in your life. Step out into the unknown. Take a chance. And then you've got to understand, if you're dealing with God, how much of a chance is it really? He's the only sure thing I know. But now what I do know, and in the midst of preparing this sermon, God gave me another one. Why so long? See how he works? I'm looking one way, but I'm seeing this while we struggle. And then he said, well, now preach, why so long? And I'll just give you a little glimpse of it.
Come on now.
The children of Israel, they struggled because they didn't recognize God.
Yeah.
Even though the enemy tried to tell them, hey, look, bless me when you go out. So y'all really got something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? But because they didn't recognize him, because they let temptuous situations come in and they wanted to fall back, because they were afraid to step out into the unknown, they struggled their whole entire existence. But I want to deal with that 40 years in the wilderness. The Bible says, because people want their blessing immediately. They want to be free immediately. They want to be done yesterday. But the Bible indicates that for every year, you remember there was 12 spies that sent out, went out for 40 days to check out the land. And the only reason why God allowed it is because the people wanted it. And so when they came, they went and they searched the land for how many days? 40 days. And when they came back, they didn't believe the minority report. They believed the majority report, saying, remember, I just told you that God going to send you out. He's going to equip you when he sends you out. He don't just send you into nothing. He said, now, I got a promised land. You got to understand that each time that God came in, the promised land was not prepared by them. But he was giving it to them. In Egypt, that was their gold and their silver and all the stuff that they had possessed that he said, take it. I got this thing. But he said, now because you didn't listen, for every day you searched the promised land and rejected it, I'm going to add a year in the wilderness.
Woo!
I'm going to stop it right there on that one. Understand, y'all, that the reason why you and I struggle, we don't give God his due. It ain't that God can't do it.
Yeah.
We already know it's done.
Yeah.
But you got to be able to receive it and understand it, no matter what, come hell or high water, I'm marching with God. Abraham stepped into the unknown because he know God sent him there. He says, well, if God, if you sent me there, I know I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. And even when he got in there, he tried to do some of his own stuff to help God out. You can't help God out. You can't even figure God out. All you can do is walk with God and say, yes, sir, absolutely, yes, I will, I will, I will. I will stay away from this. I will stay away from that. Because every time before you let temptation come in, before you fail to recognize his presence, before you are afraid to step into the unknown, the first thing that you had to do is reject what God said. Because you don't just step out. You argue. In order to struggle, you have to argue with God. In your mind, in reality, you are the one that's stopping him from blessing you. And as I close, all he says to them, with the Red Sea in front, the Egyptians behind. Watch me now.
Watch me now.
Watch what I do. See, you was crying to go back to slavery. But I brought you here for a purpose. And this is why I'm so in love with God. Because even when I'm crying to go back into slavery, he's shutting the door down. He said, no, you ain't going where you think you're going. I'm going to get you to where I want to get you. I might got to take you through some ups and some downs to get there till you recognize how powerful I really am. But I ain't letting you go back to where you started from. I got more invested in you than enough. Matter of fact, my son died on a cross on your behalf. My son shed some blood on your behalf. I'm not letting you go back because you're too foolish to see that everything is in front of you. I'm going to keep doing exactly what I said I was going to do. And I'm not going to let you deter me from what I'm trying to do in you. If you're struggling, you ain't letting God have his way. And God is saying, you can struggle and fight all you want. I'll carry you kicking and screaming, but I'm going to get you there. And if you get there and you hold on to my unchanging hand, you're going to bring some folks along with you too. We might get to heaven, all of us kicking and scratching and screaming, but I know that my destination is secure. I'm on my way to glory. Who's coming aboard? Doors of the church are open this morning.